Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Hey guys, welcome to Empower tonight. Tonight is going to be an awesome night. I'm so glad and so happy to be with you tonight. Tonight we're going to share about one of my favorite topics, and that is how to be effective in your marriage. That's how to be effective in your dating life. That's how to be effective being single. So tonight's going to be one of those nights. You don't want to miss this. And if you like the worship, if you love the worship, won't you just press that like button and press the share button. And you want to get some friends in right now, guys. Tonight is going to be a good night. I can tell you that much. The things that I have to share with you tonight is going to bless you. It's going to help you. It's going to increase you. It's going to make you more able to do life better there where you are. And what you want to do tonight, you want to get your Bible. You want to get your notebook out. And right now, please just tag 5 friends. Get them into this. As I always say, you know, get your friends to hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus is still good news. And tonight we're going to give some principles. We're going to throw them off the cuff at you. And just to empower you, to enrich you there where you are at in this night, so that you might live the empowered life. And so tonight it's going to be a good night. As I said, good evening, guys. I see across all the monitors. And again, I say, just take a moment, take 5 seconds before we start. And won't you please share this, or tag 5 guys into this live feed tonight, into this live broadcast. Tag 5 friends and take 5 seconds and let's share the stream across all platforms, on YouTube, on Facebook. Share. And won't you just take those 5 seconds and just quickly just share Jesus everywhere across all platforms. And then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. And tonight is going to be, as I say, it's going to be a good night. I'm going to share some principles with you. And again, we want to speak to single people. We're going to speak to married people. We're going to speak to people that are have certain people in their lives. We're going to most likely touch here and there on the divorce issues even. And I think these are important themes that we need to be speaking about in lockdown. So what we are talking about tonight, we are talking about lockdown love. And again, I say, I'm excited about tonight. It's going to be a good topic. It's going to be a good night. So much to share, guys. I'm Gebhard Barrent. And again, we say welcome, guys. Welcome to Empower. And by the way, Empower, let's take 5 seconds quickly across all the platforms. Let's take 5 seconds and just love one another. And virtual love, virtual hugs. And we're going to soon see you guys, by the way. We've been missing you like crazy. But right now, we just want you to know that we love you. We are praying for you. And God is with you. And the Lord is with you. And we just love you all the way. So virtual love quickly. And by the way, church, just know that we are praying for you right now, and you are on our hearts. And again, I say, just take 5 seconds, just send us some love on this stream as we go into this topic in this night. And so get a paper out, get a pen out, get a notebook out. You want to write some stuff down. And again, I say, just let's take note, guys. And we love you, we miss you, we appreciate you, Empower Church. And just know that tonight we are praying for you. So first and foremost, I want to debunk and I want to speak about certain things around relationships, and I want to speak about certain things about marriage. And I'm going to throw the truth at you. I want to pull the truth of the word for you. I'm going to speak about certain concepts and certain realities. And as you find them into your heart, as you get them into your spirit, I want to ask you please tonight that you would tag people into this, because there's so many people that need to hear it. So first and foremost, I want to say this to all the single people. I'm going to speak to 3 different crowds here tonight. I'm going to speak to the married folks. I'm going to speak to single people. And I'm going to talk to people that are basically wanting to know how to do relationships right. So those are kind of the 3 type of scenarios we want to cover tonight. And I'm going to do that, what I have in front of me. And I want to try to do my best to cover all 3 as far as possible. But let's go for it. So single people, I want you to understand first and foremost that every single person that's online with me tonight, that you don't need to be, you don't have to be married to be happy. In actual fact, I want you to understand that single is a whole unit. Single means that you are whole. And so your goal as a single person, and right from the start, I want to chat to you quickly, your goal as a single person should not be marriage. Your goal should be wholeness. You must strive and you must achieve wholeness in your life. Another person will never make you whole. You have to understand wholeness is found in Jesus Christ, and it's found in God Himself and only in God. So first and foremost, you don't have to be married to be happy, because when God made you, He made Adam first, and Adam was whole. He was a single unit. So I want to debunk it and say this, that single means whole. Single doesn't mean lesser status. Single doesn't mean a lesser individual. Definitely not. Single means that you're whole. And again, I say for every Christian listening to me tonight, that being married shouldn't be your goal. Being whole should be your goal. If you can be whole in your marriage, which we're going to speak about tonight, then obviously that's awesome. But I want you to understand that you yourself can never become whole through another person. Wholeness is created through Jesus Christ in a relationship of God the Father through the Holy Spirit. There is just no other way. Then I want to say this, that you have to understand, and want you to write this down. Love is an act of your will. Love is not an emotion. Because if love was an emotion, listen to me carefully, I want to help everybody with this. If love was an emotion, and we definitely know during lockdown that many of us had ups and downs in our emotions, love is not an emotion, love is an act of the will. In other words, if love was an emotion, what does that mean? It means this for married people: sometimes you'll feel like loving, and sometimes you won't feel like loving. Sometimes you'll be high on your emotions, and sometimes you'll be low on emotions. But a marriage is something that's been a covenant, and that means it cannot be broken. But I want you to understand love. So many people don't understand what love is. Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of the will. And I want you also to understand that. And really, when I looked at this, I thought to myself, you know, if I can just get these things across to people, we're going to help so many people. So first and foremost, I want to say to you, single doesn't mean that you're broken. Single means you're whole. And your goal in life should be to be whole. Your goal in life should not be to be married, because marriage will not make you whole. But what will make you whole is Jesus. Secondly, I want you to understand love is not an emotion. Love is an act from your will. You have to decide to love, and you have to decide to be loved. Love is an act of the will. It's not an emotion, because sometimes you're going to feel like it and sometimes you're not going to feel like it. And that's the bottom line. That doesn't change the fact for every marriage. That doesn't change the fact that you are in covenant. And that is something that we have to understand. Then I want to say this. You have to know that and maybe I can read this slowly for you. It's just something the Lord said to me. He said, if marriage would have fixed people, we would have had zero divorces. Let me say that again. If marriage would have fixed people, we would have had zero divorces. So marriage doesn't fix nothing. Marriage is a coming together of two people in covenant under the auspices of God, working out their salvation in oneness before the Lord. So I want you to understand this, and I've been married for many years and very happily married, but I want you to understand that, and there's so much that people misunderstand about marriage. Marriage means you've chosen somebody by the act of your will, and by your act of your will, you want to freely now love them by the act of your will, and you want to stay in that. And then also you have to understand that so many of us, we look to marriage to fix stuff. The marriage will never fix anything. If you've been broken before marriage and you step into marriage being broken, you're going to carry some bags, brother. And ladies, you're going to carry some bags. You have to understand that if somebody has baggage prior to the marriage, you're going to carry bags inside of your marriage. So you have to know who you are getting married to. And in lockdown love, this is important for me to get this message across to you guys, that you have to know who you are getting married to. I want you to understand this, that every single person on this line tonight, you have got patents. You have got patents. And today I want to challenge you, find out if you're getting into a relationship with somebody else, what are their patents? In other words, what are their patents? Are they, when they go low, what do they do? because it's all good when they all dressed up smiling and they look fine. But what do you do? What do you do when that person goes low? Because most people, when they go low, they've got patterns. They've got patterns. And let me give you one or two patterns. Many times when people go low, they go all critique. They become critique experts. They start to criticize people. They start to point out failures in other people. There's a bad side coming out of them. What is that? It is character shown when you go low. Most people, when they go low, the true person will come out. So never challenge, never marry a person on their high. Look at how they look when they go low. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you don't understand how a person will react when they go low, you will never understand what you're actually marrying. So this is important. That's why when you get married, you have to ask a bunch of questions. And one of the things I would like you to ask tonight is that you have to understand how a person acts. And right now we're in lockdown. We are finding out a lot about people during lockdown, because the character deficit that you have prior to lockdown, lockdown would have highlighted that character deficit. Because what we have short right now, you should draw closer to Jesus. You shouldn't be drawing away from Jesus. Yet we're seeing many people drawing away from Jesus in this hour. And the reason for that is this, is because pressure always highlights the deficit. Let me say that again. Pressure always highlights the deficit. So whenever there's pressure, it will always highlight the deficit. So never marry somebody on their high. Look at what they do when they go low. Let me give you another pattern. If you want to marry, ladies, listen to me just tonight, just for like 2 seconds. I've got good advice for you. If that guy has got a pattern of running back to mom, that means most likely when you get married, you're going to marry mom with him. Let me say it again. If that gentleman has a pattern of running back to mom when he goes low, that means most likely you're going to marry two people. You're going to get two for the price of one. This is awesome truth that you have to understand. So look for patterns. Never look for potential. Look for patterns. Most people marry potential. And by the way, most people, they marry false potential. Because what is potential really? Potential better described as purpose. Purpose is defined by character. What is character? Character is defined by love, submission, humility, obedience, perseverance. This is purpose, this is passion. So never marry a man, ladies and gents, never marry a woman that looks like potential. Marry purpose. Marry the goal that you have in your heart for yourself. Oh, this is, guys, I hope that you're learning. And tonight is going to be good. I tell you, the stuff that I have for you is so amazing that I've written down for you. I get myself all excited again about marriage. So, and I'm excited about teaching people to be effective in marriage. So again, I say, never get married to potential. Get married to purpose. Because your life is about purpose. You are too expensive to get married to false potential. You are too expensive. Let me say again. To be married to false potential. You want to get married to purpose. That is why the Bible calls a lady the helpmate. Helpmate. And if a lady is a helper, that means the following, that a man is actually doing something. If we ask a lady to be a helpmate, that means there's something that she actually needs to help with. What does she need to help with? She doesn't need to help with your potential. She must help with your purpose. Because you have not been placed on the pulpit. Oh, come on, friends. You have not been placed on the planet for potential. You have been placed on the planet for purpose. Oh, that's who you are. Purpose. You have to. It's almost like, let me say it like this. It's almost like people don't understand what marriage is all about. So let me say it like this. The goal again is not marriage. The goal is wholeness. Wholeness. And what you have to do in this time and day, 2020, you have to ask a bunch of questions. You need to know. You have to know. And again, I say, marriage doesn't fix nothing. God fixes everything. So you cannot put burdens onto a marriage partner and expect them to fix it. Because the Bible makes it clear, God fixes stuff. Okay? Now, marriage is like a triangle. Maybe I can just show you guys this. Marriage is like a triangle. If we find here that the bottom is the man, at the other bottom is the woman, and what happens in God is here at the top. Now, this is the awesome thing about marriage. Marriage is like a triangle. That means the closer the man and the woman, look at my triangle, the closer they draw to God, the closer they will draw to one another. It's an automatic thing. So again, I say marriage is like a triangle. What does that mean? It means the following. It means the closer that man gets to God, the closer the woman gets to God, what happens is they will draw to one another. Now, whenever a man and a woman are drawing away from one another, guys, what is the truth here is that somewhere they have deviated away from their common relationship with God. Oh, come on. So right now, what you should be doing before I go deeper here is you should be tagging five people, get five people into the stream, get them live, get them into the stream tonight, get five people for me. And I want you to take 5 seconds very quickly, 5 seconds, and I want you to share. And then I'm gonna show you something. There's like five things I wanna give you very quickly tonight that's actually gonna equip you, help you, empower you right there we are. So take 5 seconds and share, and then I'm gonna show you one or two key things. And when I wrote this down again during this week, I thought to myself, dear Lord Jesus, if people taught me this stuff 20 years ago, I would have helped so much more people, but you learn as you go and you grow as you go. So won't you just take 5 minutes or 5 seconds, share. I hope you're being encouraged by this message, by the way. Listen, here's something as you guys are busy sharing and I'm to people and just getting people onto this, I want to just get a note here out for you. And this is crazy important for you tonight. Key number one, and I want you guys to write this down. I want you guys to write this down. And this is so important. And again, I say, take a second, take a moment, just share this truth. And here's the first key. Key number one, every single person out there, write this down. This is gonna be key for you. This is gonna help you. This is gonna empower you. There we are. Key number one. If you ever have a person coming into your life that wants you to break up with Jesus, they have never been sent by God. If you ever have a person in your life that wants you to break up with Jesus, they've never been sent by God. Let me say that again. If you ever find a person in your life that wants you to break up with God, that person is way too expensive. Nobody should cost your relationship with Jesus. That is a price too high to be paid. You should not be, or you should never be placed in a position where you should need to be breaking up with Jesus to be in relationship with a person. Let me say that again. You should never ever be in a position where you should be breaking up with Jesus so that you can be in with someone or some people. No, that price tag is just too high. You, my friend, have been created for God and with God. That is how He has made you. And let me just say this, being single, by the way, is not a reflection of who you are. It's not a reflection of who you are. And I always say it like this to people, you are great no matter what your status. Your status does not define you. Your purpose defines you. What He has said about you defines you. So let's go a little bit deeper here. I want you to see here something. In Amos chapter number 3, verse number 3, it's one of my few scriptures for tonight. But I want you to see a scripture here because I want you to detox from certain things. I want you to detox from certain relationships. I want you to detox from certain people tonight. And if you can write down what I'm going to say to you, detox. If you can type down my detox people, this is a detox relationship program that I'm giving you tonight. And if you can detox from these things in your life, if you can earmark these things in your life, you're going to live a life of peace, love, joy, happiness, and you are going to find it much easier. Most likely, the problem that you have in your life is due to the wrong people in your life. And tonight, we want to fix that. So, Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they agree? Can two walk together unless they agree? And here is certain things that you need to detox from. And so what are we talking about tonight? We are talking about lockdown love. And I said to you right from the start, I said to you, marriage is never the goal. Wholeness is the goal. If you can get wholeness in marriage, then that is good. And we will give you some principles around marriage as well. But if you're single, you have to understand your goal should still be to be whole. Marriage, the goal is wholeness. Single, the goal is wholeness. And within the marriage context, a husband and a wife has got certain things to do. Again, I say for every single person listening to me tonight, you never get married to potential. You get married to purpose. In other words, you should be asking these questions. You should be asking, where are you going? When are you going? Where are you going? Let me say it again. When are you going? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? You have to be able to ask these questions. But in your life, in your relationship status, again, I say, where two or more are walking together, they can agree if there's the same vision. But you have to be able to detox from certain things. And these are the things that you have to be able to detox from. So let's go for it. Detox number one. Are you guys writing it down? Detox number one. In any given relationship, you must detox from any relationships that cost your sanity. Any relationship that costs your sanity, you have to detox from. If you need to conform, I'll say it slowly and the guys will throw it up in the comment bars for you. If you need to conform, subscribe, detach, or completely eradicate yourself, the cost is you. In other words, if you need to lose you so that someone else can find you, that's too much of a price tag. So you have to detox from people that literally cost your sanity. That's just a price tag that's way too high. So no relationship with any person is worth your dignity or your identity. Let me say that again. No person is the price tag worth of your dignity nor your identity. And guys, tag people into the stream tonight. Get 5 people into this because this is incredibly important. No person or no relationship is worth any person, your dignity or your identity. So detox from that. You have to detox from those type of people that causes your sanity to go away from you. Jesus said, I give you my peace. So your peace is important for you because through the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:15-16, you are actually able to judge all matters in life. Then secondly, I want you to detox from anyone that does not respect your no. You have to detox from people that does not respect your no. And listen to this. If people don't respect your no, they will never respect your yes. Let me say it again. If people don't respect your no, they will never respect your yes. In other words, you have to detox from people that don't respect your no. You have the right in certain relationships, and I'm not talking now about your boss here. You can't tell your boss, hey, no, I won't do the work. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about you have the responsibility to say no to you, and actually a no to certain things. In actual fact, the Bible says guard your heart. The word guard your heart, the word guard there is the Greek word garrison, which means the following. It means that above all things that you need to make sure that can harm you, you have to keep it on the outside of you. And the things that are good for you, you can allow inside. But you don't have to allow everybody and anybody just to tag you and rag you and derail the plans and the purposes that God has for your life. No, you have to be able to say no with dignity, and people need to respect your no. So right now, guys, I don't know about you, but you need to be tagging people into this, get them into this. So people that don't respect your no will never honor your yes. God values your no. Listen, God values your yes and your no. He honors your yes and your no so much that your salvation is bought by your yes, and hell is bought by your no. Let me say that again. Your salvation is bought by your yes, and hell is bought by your no. So God respects your yes and your no. And so as people of God, you have a responsibility to say yes and no. Detox, guys. You have to be able to detox. Then third one. Are you guys writing this down? And what you should be doing right now is I want you to share this. Take 2-3 seconds again. Share. And I want you to share this across platforms because this is so crucially important what I want to tell you. Detox number three. Are you guys with me? And again, tag 5 people into this and get them going. Detox from people that hate themselves. Listen, certain people love to throw a self-pity. And I don't know if you've noticed, but people that like to throw a self-pity party, they like to blow up balloons and get other people involved. So most of the time when people throw a self-pity, it's normally a self-pity party. And you need to understand that there is certain people that are self-destructive. And that is why you can say yes and you can say no. And you have to have the ability to detox away from people that hate themselves. There are certain people that don't, and this is the key that I want you to understand tonight. I'm going to give you a key tonight. The things that people would attack are most likely the things that are a deficit in their own lives. Because it's easy to attack shadows. Let me say that again. The things that people would attack in other people are most likely the deficit that they have in their own life. In other words, let me use an example. You know, during this lockdown, many people across the world, people are looking for us. We're getting messages. I'm getting messages all the time. Literally, we're getting so much we can't answer them because people want to know. But also during lockdown, we have seen some weird guys, people that we have thought very close to us, suddenly start to attack. And why do they attack? Because they have never dealt with the shadow within. And because they have never dealt with the shadow within, they attack the shadow inside of themselves, looking at for in other people. Because it's easier to point the finger at other people's wrongs than to deal with your own lack of maturity and lack of responsibility dealing with you. Because Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He never said, take up other people's crosses and pick up and let them carry them. Jesus gave you your responsibility. You are responsible for you. You have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Let me just back up what I just said. Jesus in the Bible says these words. Jesus says, why do you worry about your brother having a little thing in his eye when you have like a massive beam in your own life? In other words, people will often point out, very much in relationships, people will often point out the deficit that they have themselves. So for example, it's very easy to criticize leaders. And I'm not pointing that out just because I'm a leader, but it's very true. People are so often today criticizing leaders. And how easy is it to criticize leaders if you're leading nothing, just your own family? So if you're just leading your family and something else, don't come and talk to me about leadership. You can only give critique on the level that you lead. Let me say that again. You can only give critique on the level that you lead. If you're not leading on a certain level, then don't criticize it. Don't talk about it because you don't have authority there. And if you do, God will take you out. And this is what happens a lot of times in relationship. People will often highlight the shadows in you. They'll say, oh, but you have this problem and you have that problem. And it's almost like people would like to hold up a mirror for you to teach you how much you are wrong. Instead, they should be dealing with themselves and becoming more like Jesus. Oh, this is so important. Listen, people that cannot love themselves like Jesus loves them will duplicate their feelings of inadequacy over unto you. Let me say that again. People that cannot love themselves like Jesus loved them will duplicate their feelings of inadequacy over unto you. Like, for example, feelings of rejection. It's easier to reject than to deal with rejection. Let me just back up my point here. People that cannot love themselves like Jesus loves them will duplicate their feelings of inadequacy over to you. And I want to prove what I've said. It's easier to reject than to deal with rejection. It's easier to hate than to deal with the wrongdoing in your own heart. It's easier to let somebody feel less before you deal with the mess that is in you. It's easier to burst out and lash out of anger than deal with anger in your own heart. And it's easier to make people feel like a little worm than it's actually to deal with you and your little syndromes in your own life. So it's so easy to point out evil in other people's lives, and that's the bottom point. I want you to understand that. It's so easy to point out the problem, but in lockdown, in this situation that we are now, what the world needs more of, the world needs love. The world needs more love and needs more Christians that understand how much God loves us. And because we understand how highly we are loved, we can love scandalously and ridiculously. Oh, so detox people that hate themselves. Now, here's a big one, guys. If you've listened to nothing that I've said up to now, you need to listen to this, because now I'm gonna save your life right here, right now. You have to detox from people that manipulate you. Manipulation is a spirit. Manipulation is a spirit. The spirit of manipulation, it's driven by the spirit of witchcraft. What manipulation does, manipulation functions in two ways. And if you have written, want to write anything down, you have to write this down. Manipulation functions through the spirit of witchcraft. And what manipulation does is this. Manipulation has got two sides of it. The spirit of manipulation has got two sides of it. And if you are in a relationship right now, I want you to watch out for this demon. The spirit of manipulation has got two sides. The first side is a side to manipulate you by your emotions. And there's a soft side of this devil, and then there's a loud side of this devil. And this is the spirit of manipulation. And I want to use an example. If you're in a relationship context and people will threaten you and say, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, I will do that. They threaten you, and they threaten you by violence, and they become angry. For example, they come angry, they kick the couch, they kick the box, they kick this, they're angry. What is that? Anger is driven with a goal. The goal is manipulation. Manipulation's goal is fear. Fear's goal is control. Control is the spirit of witchcraft. So the first side of the spirit of manipulation is the tough side, the anger side, the threatening side. You know, if you don't do this, I'll do that. That's a threatening side. That's a spirit of manipulation. I've seen many, many marriages, many relationships being broken, messed up, completely cast aside, broken down, because someone could never deal with the spirit of manipulation. The spirit of manipulation is birthed out of a spirit of rejection. The spirit of rejection is driven by the spirit of fear. This is so important. So manipulation is witchcraft, and it's controlled in the worst way. It controls you by fear and anxiety, and it casts your soul into concern. Manipulators will go two ways, as I said. They will go angry, they will go loud, they will go threatening. That's a manipulating devil. Then on the other side, manipulation is soft, it is gentle, and it uses your emotions to get their way. Still, it is a spirit of manipulation, and still, it is a spirit of witchcraft. So let me say it like this. I'll put it down in words for you. Avoid people who want to control you and silence your personality. Oh, write that down. Avoid people that wants to control you and silence your personality. If people don't want you as you, they should not have the pleasure of you. Let me say that again. If people don't love you like you, and I don't mean, by the way, what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Europe, not talking about your job, because there's always place for improvement. I'm talking about if you are in a relationship and people are keep on rejecting you, then you're doing the necessary changes according to the word of the Lord, and yet there's not a full scope of a heart change for them towards you, it's most likely time for you to move on. But the point is, if you have to, people that breaks your personality, breaks your purpose, they are not assigned by the Lord for you. There's way too much of this, guys, in the body of Christ. So avoid this type of people. Avoid people that want to break your personality. Avoid them. Avoid drowning people. Oh, for the love of Jesus. Avoid drowning people. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you get people in your life that are drowning people. These drowning people is what I would like to call the 20-pound people. They are people that normally hook themselves onto your life, but they just assigned to drown you. And you know, those are the types of folks, and I mean no harm when I say this, is that they are the type of people that come and they come and hook their baggage, they come and hook their issues, they're gonna come and hook their problems, and they're just there to drown you. And always when you speak to them, and always when you call them, how are you doing? And you might have an awesome day. How are you doing? And when they pick up the phone, they're like, oh, I'm okay. You know, I'm just getting by. I'm fighting the fight of my life, trying to just get by. These are drowning people. And they are assigned to steal your joy. They are assigned to steal your peace. And I want you to understand that there's nothing wrong by having certain people in your life, but you should not have drowning people in your life. Jesus confronted the drowners. He never. Jesus, this is the thing that religious people don't understand about Jesus. Jesus sat with everybody, but he never left anybody in the place or in the state that he found them. Let me say that again. Jesus sat with everybody, but he never left people in the state that he found them. He always left them changed. He always left them changed. But you, as you are in a relationship, you have to be able to step away from drowning people. Because you just have them in your life. You get these type of people. Then I wanted to say this. Oh, you have to detox. And what is manipulation? Let me give you the five things people are asking me on tonight. Guys, are you learning something tonight? I pray to God that you guys are learning something tonight as we are live here. Again, I say, tag five friends, get them into this live stream. Let's take 5 seconds, share. I'm going to give you five things that manipulating people do. Then we're going to step into more truths here. So five things quickly. I want everybody to share on both platforms. Oh, tonight is a good night. I'm enjoying myself. Won't you share and take 5 seconds to share? And I'm going to give you five things that manipulation does. And I'm looking at the names and hey guys, it's so good to see all of you. And it's so good to be with you and seeing all these names, and you're welcome to comment. Well, go for it, guys. Take 5 seconds and share quickly. I'm going to open up more of my notes here, and I'm going to share with you five things that manipulating people do. And this is so important that everybody catches this, because as you catch this, this is going to revolutionize everything in your life. This is going to change. And let me just get this for you. Oh, when I wrote this down, the Lord just spoke to me so clearly. Five things that manipulation does. Please listen to this. Five things. And here we go. They deny something they said previously. Manipulation. Most of the time, people that manipulate, when you confront them one-on-one, they will never deal with the real issue. They will just say, whoa, I don't know what you're talking about. They will deny the real issue at hand. Manipulating people don't like one-on-one confrontation. They don't like that. So manipulating people are most of the time what I would like to call keyboard warriors. They're very good in typing messages. They're excellent in sending emails. But they're very bad in confrontation. When the things get real, they're most likely the people that get running. So if you want to understand who's the real people that are for you in your life, put people under pressure. By the way, the word temptation means to be put under pressure and to be tested on every inch and looking what comes out. So they deny something they said previously, manipulation. Secondly, they make you feel guilty. Oh, Jesus. This is so true, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this truth. They make you feel guilty. They say, oh, but why? They make you feel guilty. Manipulating people love to make other people feel guilty. They always want you to feel guilty. Always. They are guilt trip experts. And I hope you're taking some notes tonight. The third thing that manipulating people do is this. They make subtle threats or use aggressive language. They use subtle threats and use aggressive language, manipulation. And so I said to you again, manipulators, they can be loud. And like my mom that's with the Lord always, she always said this. She said, most of the time manipulating people, because my mom had a passion. She had a passion to see people whole. She had a raw passion. She led something called Soul Care that was made for to make people's souls whole. And she always would say this. She would always say that most of the time, people that want to control other people are controlled themselves. Let me say that again. People that want to control other people are most likely controlled themselves, not by God, but by themselves, by their own ambitions, by their own love for themselves, not for other people. So they like to make you feel guilty. They use threatening language or use aggressive language. I like this. They are over jealous and constantly want to know your whereabouts. They are over jealous. and I want to know where you are. I don't know if the single people, if you can relate to me, if you can relate to me right now. I can't relate to this because thank the Lord Jesus Christ that my wife is not like this. But I know about many people. I once counseled a gentleman that, and he came and sat with me. He said this, he said, Prophet, I have a problem. This wife of mine, she's like the police. Wherever I go, she wants to know where I am. And I said, and we spoke about that, and I helped them through that. But I want you to understand something, and I'm teasing when I say that. But sometimes being over jealous, being overzealous, always wanting to know where you are, constantly SMSing, constantly WhatsApping. You know, I know about people that they literally, if you go online, they message you. There's something wrong there. So, you know, manipulation, subtle threats here, guys. Then the fifth one, they can twist your words and scenarios for their own benefit. Oh, they can twist your words and scenarios for their own benefit. This is tools of manipulation. You have to detox. Then one or two more to go, and then we're gonna go tonight. As I say, tonight's gonna be good. Yeah, and by the way, by now, you should have been tagging like 10, 20 people into this and getting this word out, and because it's life-saving. Then detox, listen to me, another detox that you should be able to do. Detox from people with no boundaries. Detox from people with no boundaries. Toxic people never expect, and I've written this down, they will throw this up in the tagline for you. Toxic people never respect the boundaries that they are given. They often borrow money without repaying, nag without helping. They are always late and always seem to be in some form of trouble. But when you need them, they are nowhere to be found. Let me say it again. Detox from people that have no boundaries. How does people look like that has no boundaries? They look like this. They are toxic. Toxic people never respect the boundaries that are given to them. They will often borrow money without repaying. They will nag without helping. Have you noticed that in lockdown, you have expert naggers? Expert, they're brilliant at nagging. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But they will not help no one. They will nag, 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 but they won't help. They are what the Bible calls eaters. They are not sowers. You get seed to the sowers, bread to the eaters. And those people that want to eat all the time, they are the naggers. They will nag. They will be comfortable because somebody else is working. And here's the big surprise. God makes the wheel turn, because whatever you sow, you will reap. That's what the Bible says. Then listen to this. You have to detox from people with no boundaries. People that don't respect you will always overstep your boundaries. And again, what I'm talking about tonight, I'm talking about relationships. You have to set up healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries must be in place in your life. There's certain things that must be in place. Then you have to be able, two more to go, you have to be able to detox, guys. Listen to me tonight. Oh, you have to be able to detox from people that can't move on. That can't move on. That can't move on. And I'm going to read for you what God gave me. So many people don't want you to move on past your mistakes or your past. They judge you. They condemn you. And they hold you to a standard that they themselves cannot obtain. They love without compassion. Let me say that again. You have to move away from people that can't and can't move on. That can't move on. So many people don't want you to move on past your mistakes in your past. They judge you, they condemn you, and they hold you to a standard that you yourself cannot obtain, or they themselves cannot. And one of the quickest deaths I've seen for many people in any relationship is this, that people are kept to a certain level of relationship that they themselves do not even love. I have seen people criticize other people on levels that they themselves, they don't even love that. Yet they are trying to tell other people how to do certain stuff. And I think to myself, dear Lord Jesus, don't tell us how to love if you don't love. Don't tell us how to have compassion if you don't do anything. That is a Pharisaical type of love. The Pharisees were were expert opinionators, yet they lacked practical love. Yet Jesus was always to be found with both. He was as spiritual as what he was physical. He was both. He was both. So you have to detox from people that cannot move on. Listen to this. Please don't believe that you can help people that have planted themselves in their own past. If they have planted themselves in their own past, you cannot create their future for them. They have to choose to move on. They have to choose to move on. And let me just say this for every person that is watching me tonight, because I really want to help this group of people as well, because this is very important. Now, I'll do a course just for you, or another service just for this group of people. But I want you to understand, in today's society, if we hear the big D, divorce, everybody freaks out. Now, I want you to understand that God never designed anything to be divorced. That's not His plan and that's not His design. But if you've had a divorce is not a death sentence. It's not a death sentence over your life. If some person has rejected you, neglected you, and didn't love you like you wanted to be loved, don't give up on love. Because there is someone and somehow people that will love you crazy just like you are. I want you to say that again. If there is people online tonight with me, I want you to note this, because I've counted them over the years by the thousands, that if you have been divorced, that doesn't break your status down to some other benign level of society. No, my friend, there's another day and there's another future and there's another moment. And the only thing that you should not do, you should not try to lead while you're bleeding. Let me say that again. Never lead while you bleed. What do I mean by that? If you're still healing out of another relationship, you should not step into another one. Because if you do, you're going to bleed onto somebody that's innocent. Oh, come on, let's say that again. I hope you get what I'm saying. If you are bleeding out of a relationship, meaning you've been hurt, you've been wounded, you've been rejected, you have been betrayed. Look, Jesus knows how it feels like to be betrayed. I know how it feels like to be betrayed. I've been betrayed by the best of the best. And betrayal is a part of life. It's a part of life. If you ever wanted to go high with God, you need to know someone is going to betray you. This is life. And so I've had many betrayers over my life, but I want you to know that if you are not healed, you're going to bleed on someone that's innocent. You're going to take your wounds forward. And what you're actually doing, you're going to make another person carry bags that they have never bought into. They bought into you. They didn't buy into your bags. They bought into you. They didn't buy into your luggage. And they didn't buy into your burdens. And they didn't buy into your issues. They bought into you. And so you have to be responsible with you. And you have to heal you. And how do you heal you? Well, you need to go to the one that made you. Psalm 133, and you need to love you right through His love. Because as you see you through Him, you become like Him. And as you become like Jesus, you are able to portray that love onto someone else. Because Jesus said this, love the Lord thy God like you love yourself. And you can only find out the love that you have for yourself if you find out how much He loves you. And that's why I say the goal is never to be in anything. The goal is to be whole. The goal is wholeness. And if marriage makes you whole, excellent, then there's principles for marriage. If single makes you whole, that means that's fine, then stay single. But you don't need some other thing to make you you. You be you, and you live your purpose according to what you've chosen for your life. And this is very important. So again, I want you to heal. I want you to be a people that heal. So what have we set up to now? We have said some deep truths tonight. We have said this, that first and foremost, love is an act of the will. It's an act of the will. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Because sometimes you're going to feel it, and sometimes you're not going to feel it. And listen, don't give up on love just because you don't feel it, because it's a decision. It's an act of your will. You know, and this is so important. Then I said this, that love, I wanted to say this, I think this is going to shock you, but this is very, very true to every married person out there. Listen to this. This is going to save your marriage life. This is going to save your marriage life. Write in two sentences, I can save your marriage. In two sentences, I can save it. If you listen to this, and this is the truth, listen to me. Love does not make a marriage whole. Love does not make a marriage whole. If love made a marriage whole, there'll be a lot of divorced people fighting with you. Because people that are divorced were in love once. So if love doesn't make a marriage whole, what makes a marriage whole? What makes a marriage whole? This makes a marriage whole. This makes a marriage whole. If you, the Bible says this, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And Jesus says these words, Peter pens these words. He's been married for about 65 years. Peter the apostle, he pens these words in 1 Peter 3 verses 7. He says, men, walk with your woman with understanding and with knowledge. In other words, what saves a marriage is the application of knowledge and wisdom and how your husband or how your wife operates. If you have studied them, if you know what they like and what they don't like, if you know how they operate and how they don't operate, if you understand their emotions and understand their feelings, if you understand what they're afraid of and what they are not afraid of, if you can understand how to light them up and how to blow out their candle, if you understand your partner and you can apply knowledge, you're going to have the most successful, the most joyous, the most life-changing marriage that you will ever find. And that's why God instructs men. He says to men, men, know your woman. Woman, know your woman. What do they like? What do they don't like? Come on. What do they don't like? And this is where I believe in this night in lockdown love, I believe God wants to heal relationships. I believe He wants to restore things. But you need to ask Him. He has the answer. He has the solution, guys. But as you're listening to me tonight, God wants to change you. But you have to apply Him. And again, I say, love doesn't save nothing. Love is not the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is what drives love. What makes you love a person? What makes you love a person? What makes you love a person? Question mark. What makes you love a person? Answer. Knowledge. About what? About the good and the bad. The good and the bad. That's what makes love an act of your will. Because sometimes you're going to find the wrong and you still need to choose to love. And sometimes you're going to find the right and you're going to know why you want to love. But I want you to know that God's love, doesn't find reasons. There's not a because for God. God doesn't say, I love the world because. No, He just says, I love the world. I love the world, I give Jesus. I love the world, I give Jesus. Oh, He doesn't have a because. He doesn't say, I love you because you have a nice face. He doesn't say, I love you because you're rich. He doesn't say, I love you because you have potential. He doesn't say, I love you because you make me laugh. God doesn't say, I don't love you because you make me happy. God doesn't say, I love you because, oh, you make me look thin in those jeans. God doesn't have a because. God just loves you. And you, my friend, you are worthy of awesome love. And I don't know your story, but I know His story. And His story is saying this over your life in this night. He's saying, right now as I sit here, as I'm speaking to you, He is saying to me to tell you, you are not your end and you are not your failure. You are not your past and you are not the people that walked out on you. You are not those that betrayed you and you are not those that have stabbed you in the back. You are not those that have left you, most likely, and I'm talking to many people now, your worth is not determined by how people have treated you and have not treated you. You are who God says you are. You are deeply loved, you are abundantly blessed, and you are highly favored. And you, my friend, you are worth the best. You're not worth the rest of the story. You're not worth the little tidbits that people want to throw out. No, you're worth the best. How do I know? Because one day I sat in prayer, I was praying, I was asking God this question. This was my question. I said, God, why do you love us so? Why did, this was my question. I said, Why did you stay on the cross? That was my question to Jesus. Jesus, why did you stay on the cross? Why did you stay? It was just a question I had to my best friend. Why? Why did you stay? Why did you stay on the cross? You could have taken yourself off. You were God. You are God. How can three nails, a tree that you make, and creation, man that you created, how can you make them put you on a tree and keep you there? What made you stay? What made you stay? And as I was praying that, as I was asking Jesus that question, what made you stay on the cross? He gave me a vision and I saw people. I saw people, many people. I saw thousands and thousands of faces. And he said this, he answered me, he said, and I thought he would, he's going to speak about the multitudes. He's going to speak about the multitudes because I was seeing multitudes in the vision. He said, I want you to know, you made me stay. You made me stay. And his remark caught me off guard. I was like, but I'm seeing the multitudes. Why do you say you made me stay? It was a question. He said, because even though I saw the multitudes, for you, I only saw you. Oh, I hope to God you're catching what I just said there. He said this, quote, he said, even though there was a multitude, for you, I just saw you. And so my friend, I know this not out of theory. I know this not out of some book I read. I know this because of a personal relationship that I have with the Master. And I don't know your story, but what I do know, I know a God that loves you scandalously. I know a God that wants to step into your relationship in this night and heal you. I know a God that can touch the deepest, darkest places of your heart and transform that in a moment. And I know a God that doesn't look to my background to choose me, but He looks to my future and selects me. Many are called, few are chosen. And you are chosen to be loved. And so, if I summarize, I can say it like this, and I want you to take 5 seconds, 5 seconds, love this sermon, just press the like button, love this sermon, take 5 seconds, and I want you to share, again, just share, everybody share, and then we're going to step into the last part of this sermon tonight. I hope that you guys are learning, I hope that you guys are achieving something, and I want to summarize this by saying two things. I want to summarize this by saying two things, and this is so important, and I hope that by now you have learned some invaluable things. So here's what I wanted to say. Last couple of key matters for me at hand. First and foremost, I want you to say this, that you yourself, as you are, that's what makes you whole. You are whole, not because, but because He chose you. So Jesus chose you, and your singleness right now to all the single people, single means whole. Okay? Single means whole. Marriage will not fix brokenness. It will add to it. If you get children, that's going to amplify it even more. So don't think children will make a marriage work. It won't. It won't. For the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't work. So don't try that. I've seen too many of that, too much of that. Don't do that. But go to the Maker, go to Jesus, and ask Him to make you whole. And then I spoke about many areas that you need to detox. But I also want you to say with me tonight, and this is what I wanted to get to. I wanted to get to a place tonight that I want you to put a comma in your life. And this is going to sound very cliche-ish, but it's so true. I want you to put a comma there where you've put a full stop. And most people that are wounded, hurt, betrayed, offended, rejected, and have something in their past, they want to put a full stop in their lives. And tonight, my friend, I want you to go and put a comma next to your name again. Oh, listen to me. I'm helping you to go on with your life. I want you to put a comma there where someone or something or some incident wanted to pull a full stop. And if you ask me tonight, as I'm on air with you tonight live, I can just say this to you. You have to put a comma next to your name again. You have to put a comma next to your name. Because if you don't put a comma in, you're going to put a full seal on something that is not dead. Let me say that again. If you don't put a comma next to your name, what you're going to do, you're going to seal something up that God wants to be alive. God wants to be alive. And let me throw a scripture at you. They sealed Lazarus up. They thought he's dead. They put a seal on him. They put a tomb around him. They closed him up. They said, Lazarus is dead. But Jesus didn't say Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, this therefore, he will not die, but this therefore be for the glory of God, or this will be for the glory of God. I think it's John 11, where it says this, that I tell you the truth, this is for the glory of God. So Jesus didn't put a stone there. He didn't put a full stop there. He put a comma there. But because time went by, Mary and Martha made the human error. And this is the human error. They went to put a full stop at something that Jesus said must live. And so they put a full stop at Lazarus and they said, he's dead. Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus stays away 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Lord, the one you love is dead. Jesus goes to look for his friend. Where is he? Full stop. They've put a full stop. They've put a stone there. They say he's dead. Ah. And I want you to see something here because I'm going to help you tonight. Jesus never saw Lazarus as dead. Why? Because before Lazarus went into the tomb, Jesus' words was already inside. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And even though there was a momentary interruption, that doesn't mean love cannot save that. Oh, I want you to understand this. Love can save everything. And his love, I mean, not man's love, his love. His love can save everything that you call dead. And you, my friend, if you in this night can give up the dead spaces of your life to Jesus, he can bring it back to life. But you have to give away your right to be right. You have to give away your right to feel hurt. You have to give away your right to feel rejected. You have to give away your right to feel betrayed. You have to give away your right to feel like you have a right to feel what you're feeling. Because if you don't, you will never be like Jesus. And Jesus, by the way, was betrayed by his closest friend. He was betrayed by Judas. His 11 best friends that he trained for 3.5 years was nowhere to be found when he got crucified. Jesus knows betrayal. Jesus knows how it feels. But he gave up his right to hold on to something that he gave away. And you, my friend, you have to give up your right for these things. And if you can, you're going to be healed tonight. You're going to be made whole tonight. Oh, you're going to be whole. Jesus is going to come and make your heart whole again. And tonight, oh, that's what I'm all about. That's what the Master is about. The Master wants to bring you back to life. The Master wants you to live again. And he wants to bring a comma there where you put a dead full stop. Maybe I can say it like this. You know, guys, as you are listening to me tonight, there are so many of you that are on this live stream tonight, hundreds of people watching us in this night. It was a couple of days into January. It was 16:25 in the afternoon. Exactly 5 months, 2 days, that I stood next to mom's bed as she went into glory. And as I stood next to mom, and she Mom was my hero. She loved me like crazy. Moms always love you like crazy. Isn't that true? Moms always love you like crazy. And so I loved my mom. She was the voice in my life that said I could be the best. The voice of reason. The voice of hope. And I'm only sharing this story not because of anything, but because I want to share with you that I can relate. And so as I sit here tonight, I'm not sitting here as broken anymore. I'm whole. You know why? And when I get teary, it's not because I'm broken. When I get sad, it's because I understand that I've given up on. And this is what I've given up on. As I say, I lost mom about 5 months, 5 months, 2 days, and about 8 hours. 7.5 to be exact. 7:35 to be exact. I lost my mom. And she was a fighter. She loved us like crazy. We were always, you know, your mom always loved you like crazy. You can be like a drug addict and she will call you a pharmacist. You know, your mom just loves you. And so I stood next to her bed. Next to her bed was I, on the left, on the right was my wife. And we did what mom taught us to do. We worshiped Jesus. Because we didn't know what to do in that moment. We just knew we were afraid. And we knew we were going to lose mom. And so we did what she taught us to do. We worshiped. And so that was 5 months ago. And that might seem very long for a lot of people, but not for me, because I miss my mom. But, here's the big but. One night I was sitting up late at night, and as I was speaking to God, and I was saying this to Jesus. I said, Jesus, when does the pain in the heart go away? That was my question. Because I know all the theological answers. I can give you all the theological reasons why not to feel hurt, but yet you do. I know the truth, Mamas of God. I know all of that stuff. I know because I was there. I saw the angel next to her bed. I know the glory of God filled the room. I know I was there. The Spirit of God was there in that room. I know I was there. So I've got no doubt where Mamas are. But still, it doesn't take away the pain in the moment. You get what I'm saying? So I sat on my bed late at night. It was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I said to Jesus, when does the pain go away? When does the pain go away? I needed an answer, and for weeks I cried out to him. I said, Lord, when does the pain go away? And one day, as I was praying, because one thing I learned to do very well and effective in lockdown is to pray more, because if you're locked down for a moment and you don't pray more, something's wrong. And so I was spending time with Jesus, and suddenly the Lord stood next to me and he said this. He said, I want you to give up your right. I said, right to what? He said, I want you to give up your right to feel hurt. And if you can, and he gave me other reasons, and that's not for Facebook or for Instagram or for YouTube, that's for me. But he said, I want you to give up your right to feel hurt. Because right now, I need you, son. And so I said, but God, I miss mom. He said, listen, I know you do, but I want you to give up your right to feel what you're feeling. Because right now, I need you to be brave. And so I sat there, and it was hard to do. I said, Jesus, I don't even know how to do this. I know the full spectrum of what I'm feeling, and so I'm going to let go. And so in that moment, I let go of the pain, what I was feeling. And I gave it to Jesus. I said, here's the pain. And in that moment, I understood a scripture more than ever before. And that's why I say, I can relate. Cast your burdens upon Jesus. Why? He cares for you. Right now, as you're listening to me tonight, listen, right now as you're listening to me tonight, we're leading thousands of people across the globe. But you can never lead people to there where you have never gone. Why am I telling you this? Because you, my friend, Jesus wants to heal you. But the dove settles on the places of peace. For a dove to settle in on your life, a dove will never come and settle if there's a stormy wave or things like, a dove doesn't settle, a dove settles on a still place. Let me say that again, the Holy Spirit is like a dove and He settles on your still places. And so as you are finally seeing me on your screens from the side, I want you to see something. If I hold my hand out like this, the dove wants to come and settle again on your life. But it cannot settle if you do this. If you up and down, up and down, up and down, if you go like this the whole time, the dove cannot come and settle, my friend. What he wants from you, he wants you to go and stand still. You owe yourself peace. Let me say that again. You owe yourself peace. How do I know? Because Jesus said these words. Jesus said these words. Jesus said, "And my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give. And I am going away to prepare a place for you." John 14:1 that I'm quoting. "And if it were not so, I would have told you plainly. But it is so, and I'm coming back to you." And so tonight I want to say this. God wants to revive the dead places, but you need to give it up. And so I want you to take a moment tonight. I want you to take a moment. I want you to choose to let go. Because my friend, in lockdown, and especially in lockdown love, you will not heal if you don't let go. And here's the most awesome thing. Let me tell you a secret that he gave me. This is old secrets, but I'll give you something that he said to me. That you want to save, you have to let go of. That you want to save, you have to let go of. You have to give up your rights. If you love money, give it away. If you love your sanity, choose peace. But it's time for you to choose the best version of you. It's time, my friend. And so, we have said many things tonight. And so this is where I wanted to get. The Spirit of the Lord is here with me. And as I'm reaching hundreds of people on live tonight, I'm enjoying myself. But this is what He wants over there, this live stream and this night. He wants you whole. He wants you whole. Because Jesus saves and Jesus makes whole. He's, the word save is a Greek word sozo. It means whole, soul, body, mind, whole, whole. Listen, Jesus got holes so that you can be whole. I'll say that again. Jesus has holes. And if you ask me, I've seen the holes. I've been allowed to see His feet once. Jesus got holes. But Jesus got holes so that you can be whole. So don't you stay in a hole if He wants you whole. No. You step out. You owe yourself. You owe yourself to step into wholeness. You owe that to yourself. And so tonight is that night. Tonight is that night. Tonight, I want you to choose wholeness. And so where you are, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a moment there where you are. I want the Holy Spirit to reach your heart. And I want, as I speak to you tonight, that in this night, that you choose wholeness. Look, you're too old not to choose wholeness. You're too young not to choose wholeness. And you're too beautiful, you, not to choose wholeness. Just, you have to choose wholeness tonight. So as the Spirit of the Lord is filling this place where I'm at, I want you. Listen, don't tell me and don't say it's painful. I know the pain. I've been betrayed by my best friends. I've been betrayed by many things. Right now, we're leading thousands upon waters that no man has ever walked on. But one thing I do know, that He's with me as He's with you. And no height, nor depth, nor angel, nor demon, nor principality, nor power, not my past, not people, can tell me how much He loves me. How do I know? Because He told me by Himself. So I am fully persuaded. Paul says in this word, I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded. I am fully persuaded. So tonight you, my friend, you need to become fully persuaded. And so right there where you are, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to choose wholeness. And I'm going to pray for you and the Holy Spirit's going to touch you right there where you are. And I want you to choose wholeness for yourself in this life. Choose that for yourself. Choose wholeness. So won't you show me, just there you are, guys, you can type afterwards, I want you to choose wholeness. I want you to choose that tonight. Choose wholeness. And I want the Holy Spirit just to come in on your spirit in this night, just for a moment, and reach you there where you are. And then I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to pray for you. This is so, so important. Then I'm going to pray for you. You ready? You ready for wholeness? Ready for wholeness? Okay. Let's unleash the Spirit of wholeness. He's an expert. He's an expert. His name is Holy Spirit. He's a person. And He is going to make you whole right now. So there we are, with your hands raised. I'm going to pray. So Father, in the precious, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, I pray over this live stream and this night that every person listening to the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit, touch their heart, touch the seat of their emotions, touch their mind right now, and let them know how deeply, how much You love them. Change them from the inside out. And in this night, I pray wholeness into their minds, wholeness into their hearts, wholeness into their lives. Holy Spirit, do what only You can do. Come and heal. And I pray, Lord, as I see in my spirit, I see thousands, Lord. I see many people that's going to still listen to this message. But I thank You for wholeness in this night. I pray that minds will be healed. I pray that hearts will be healed. I pray in this night by the power of Jesus that wholeness will be our portion. Not because we're good, not because we're awesome, but just because we're Yours, God. And You want to make us great. And so I thank You, Father, that across this airwaves and this night, that we can choose wholeness. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen and amen. And so guys, I want to end this night by saying like this. From this night forward, you need to put a full stop at anything that wants to break you. And you need to not return back to something that you've given up. If you've given up something, give it away and walk away. Walk away. There's times and there's moments that I've needed to walk away from things that I didn't want to. But on the other side was Jesus. And He was calling me forward. Let me tell you this as a prophet tonight. We will get through COVID-19. We will make this. And we will be awesome. and God's going to help you. And you're going to be just fine. Why? Because I am convinced and I'm fully persuaded that I have a God that loves me. His name is greater. Greater, greater, greater. And so that is your portion in this night. And so before I let you go in this night, you have a responsibility in this night. You have a responsibility. And this is your responsibility. You can't sit through a message like this where the Spirit of the Lord touches you and you don't reach out. You have to reach out in this night. It's time to make the call. It's time to make the call. And it's not always necessary to phone anybody. It's not always necessary to send that message. But maybe, just for you, it's time to put in that full stop and move on. And so, my friend, I just want to tell you, we're going to make this. And we're going to be just fine. God's going to promote you. God's going to increase you. God has not stopped dreaming over your life. How do I know? Last story. He never gave up on anybody. You will not find one story in the Bible of God giving up. He'll find you. High, low, wherever you go, He'll come and find you. And so what I want you to do in this night, share just this message of love. Tag some people. And the greatest message I have to share with you is not God's power, but His love. Because His love is the driving force behind His power. He will break open the heavens because He loves you. He will rip open a tomb because He loves you. He will send His Son because He loves you. And that's why I know we'll be just fine. Why? God loves me. God loves me. God loves you.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.